Welcome everybody to our expert talk, our 60 minutes with Piero Papi. Ciao Piero, come stai?
Ciao Arturo, bene, grazie.
Che hai fatto ieri?
Ma ieri ho preso un paio di birre con te, che erano tanto tempo che non lo facevamo ed è stato carino.
Ok, let's switch to
Let's
English.
switch to English,
Yeah,
yeah.
so Piero, I'm very happy to do this with you. We're going to talk about soft tissue management around the implants. We're going to talk about our biomaterials, both is your techniques, your research. Very important. But before, let's talk about you. Who are you, Piero Papi?
Ok,
Introduce yourself a little bit.
thanks for the question, Arturo. Well, I'm Piero Papi. I'm Piero. I'm from Italy. I'm from Rome. I am 35 years old. I'm married with Bianca, and I have a kid whose name Giorgio, who is almost 2 years old. So now life has changed a bit since the times we were running together all over the world, free and wild. Now let's say that the situation is slightly changed, but for better,
We
for
were free,
better.
but also maybe a little bit wild. So with Piero, we got to know each other maybe in 2015.
2015, exactly.
Yeah, we
Almost
started.
11 years ago now. Yeah.
And we started with, I think was a, okay, of course we met for many reasons, but we started with a lecture at the University La
Yes,
Sapienza, where you
exactly.
have an affiliation there.
Yes, I am a researcher at Sapienza University of Rome. Back in the time when we met each other, I was just graduated since 2 years almost, so I was completely new in the field of implant dentistry and biomaterials. And I remember the first time we met when you arrived to present us the body's portfolio, no? So you gave us a very nice bag with all the different, a very nice box with all the different biomaterials, and you just said us, just try, and then let me know your feedback and if you have something in mind. And this was kind of a revolutionary approach, no? For us at the time, because we were used to have industries representatives who were just coming in telling us, okay, this is the best biomaterial, this is what you need the biomaterial for, the big name is using this for this, so you should apply strictly this protocol, follow the line, don't go outside the box. So this was like a new approach for us. And I really liked it because I was given by my former head, Professor Pompa, that we had some wonderful dinner with him. And also a lot of nice talk about music and rock and roll,
Yes, nice shoes.
and nice shoes, of course. And he gave me the task to study these materials. And I was very surprised by the different flexibility that you have in the portfolio. That was something unique. And we started discussing a possible collaboration. And so you told me, why don't you set up a study? What do you have in mind? And you invited me to come to Berlin for a VIP event for Straumann Italian customers. It was back in 2015, no? And we had a nice time there because, I mean, there was this very nice format that was also very advanced. We are talking about 11 years ago.
And now fast forward very violently to today. What's happening today?
A VIP event with me as a speaker. No,
Amazing, amazing.
yeah, so I mean, it's like a turning point, no? A lot of time has passed, a lot of different feelings now that we have. And I mean, it was very nice because I was there. I was listening to Alessandro Rossi, which we are still in contact with Alessandro. He's a very nice and respected clinician, and he was explaining us the different use of biomaterials. And it was nice because after the lecture, I was speaking with Alessandro, no? To ask him for some suggestions, for some advices on the protocol I was about to set up with you. And after the meeting, we met, we discussed the protocol, and you directly approved it. It was very nice because it was fast. The following week, I had the biomaterials in the
Amazing.
office.
And what study was that?
It was a first study that we had on Mucoderm combined with MaxResorb at the time.
Ah, right. It was socket preservation.
It was socket preservation exactly in the aesthetic zone, and also the use of MaxResorb and Mucoderm for simultaneous implant placement in the
Ah,
aesthetic zone.
nice.
It was very advanced, actually. We started with a very high and difficult one, maybe because I was young.
Young and
So
wild, yes.
exactly. So I didn't know all the boundaries and how to set up something in a more safe zone, but it was a very nice journey.
So I like what you were saying about when we're trying the products, because one of the idea really the grounding idea of BOTUS is exactly that of offering clinicians the luxury of choice,
yeah.
choosing. Instead of telling you, this is the best biomaterial and you need to use this technique to actually obtain a result, is the other way around. What is your technique? Then we choose together the best combination
that
for
can
that
apply.
Technique.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, very nice. And after that, we've been collaborating a lot and yeah. have here some nice pictures. Maybe yeah. you can comment one by yeah. one if you remember where we
yeah,
were.
Yeah, we are. I remember exactly which picture you are showing me because we were in the BOTUS tour in Colombia and Mexico. And it was very nice because we had this 2 weeks tour going all around for Central and South America. And it was impressive. And it was me, you, and Bianca. We had a lot of fun. And there were also very nice activities after the meeting.
For example, just tell us a memory. What's something that comes to mind?
One of the best was when we went to eat the tacos in Mexicali. We went to Mexicali, which is, imagine this, like a Breaking Bad city close to the border. Where is Bryan Cranston? No? and it's basically, we went there and we ate in this place where we would have never gone inside if somebody was not going with us.
But do you remember the hotel was really Breaking Bad? With
the hotel was like the villa of the big cartel boss, no? But it was very nice. I mean, because we went to, I was like, I'm in Mexicali. I still have the screenshot of the map showing me the place because I knew that there was like this big dental city, which is Algodones,
exactly,
which is the biggest dental city in the world,
more
than 300 dental clinics in a same small village because it's just close to the border,
exactly.
So where US people go to have treatment for dental treatment. So I mean, you learn a lot of things also. Now you're not just going to lecture; you go to have a life experience when you do tour like this. So we had a lot of fun, a lot of nice moments. We learn how to prepare guacamole also in Mexico. We went to try and taste the Mexican caviar, which I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
yes.
It was quite intense at the beginning. And then, it was a very nice experience also going in Colombia, having a wonderful time with the Microvision and the Strawan people. It was nice. And I remember that we went in Colombia. It was my second time in Colombia because my first time I was on vacation in Colombia because I had at the time my brother-in-law was living there with the family. So we went to visit to have a tour of Colombia and Peru. And I texted Arthur and said, I will be in Colombia. And he was, how long are you staying? Well, I'm staying a month, so I will have time. Do you want to do a lecture? And I was like, a lecture in Spanish? I was 28. Are you sure? Do you want me to lecture? Yeah, don't worry. It will be a small thing. Okay, thank you. It's a nice opportunity. So I go there. Best club in Bogota.
Club
Nugal. I remember
exactly.
The name. We are not making advertisement for everybody. And we went there. And the room was filled with 160 people. And I was there, I was the only speaker, and I was there. Now what am I saying? Bianca's face was, are you sure you're gonna do this? I said, I don't know, I don't think I have
but
much
But it worked
choice.
Out well.
It went very well, it very was good. Very nice in the end. But I was just breaking the glass, not the ice. It was very nice, an amazing opportunity, a big audience, a full lecture in Spanish. Now, my first international lecture was there. And thanks to you, which put a young man in the stage at just 28 years old, in a very big stage also. And then there was, let's make another one. And we made also another one that was organized while I was already in Colombia. So this is how flexible the relationship is between us.
And then, I mean, in this 10 plus years, you've been collaborating a lot.
Yes.
We've been doing a lot of research. We're going to talk about some of the studies. And you've been speaking at the VIP events. You've been just now when we launched in China.
Yes,
you were one of the key speakers.
That was one of amazing. Me and Massimo Frosecchi, another amazing clinician. We went to have this Cerebon Roadshow tour. So we went through four different cities in a week. It was kind of being back at the time of the BOTUS tour in Colombia and Mexico. It was an amazing opportunity to see. And it's also, I felt very honored because you trusted me with going in a country that you were chasing for years now.
Mm-hmm.
It took almost 10 years to register Cerebon and JSON Membrane there. So, I mean, we felt very honored to have this opportunity now. And it was a unique opportunity to go there and to meet a lot of different people and with an excellent organization. It was very nice, in a completely different environment from what we are used to. So this was also something, and I was there, I think, look where teeth are bringing me, no?
Yeah.
So that's also a nice part of the job, and we did a lot of nice.
But then a question is like, so you're doing a lot of research, you're doing a lot of lecture around the world, also we bought this week, going to New Zealand, Australia, China, Latin America. Where do you have do you find the time to actually do your job?
this is a good question. You should ask this question to my father, who is the head of the clinic. So sometimes, where are you this week? And but no, it's like we have, let's say that I managed to have now, it is still feasible, I think, because we are having like I'm in Berlin now for 2 days, no? Mm-hmm. But it's good because it's a 2 days break from the daily practice, and then I'm back fully concentrated on research and daily practice as well. So, I mean, let's say that we find a kind of, a solution to survive to reality, but it's nice because I'm still not in the phase where I go out every weekend, luckily, because I think it's very important to have the time to relax also and to enjoy the family, which is the most important thing. And then I have now this good equilibrium, I think, where I go quite often to lecture abroad, but I still manage to do things in a proper way.
And what is walk us through your standard day at your clinic. Okay. What are the clinical situations that you treat the most?
Okay, so let's say that my standard day is a bit divided because I work as a researcher in the university. So in the mornings, I'm in the university where I do classrooms at the undergraduate and also the postgraduate level, especially in the field of implant dentistry and biomaterials or oral surgery. And then I go in private practice, usually in the afternoon, mm-hmm. my practice. And sometimes I also go as a consultant in other practices, like to place implants or to do more complex and advanced cases like GBR procedures and so on. And I am almost exclusively dedicated to oral surgery, so implant dentistry. I call this perio-implantology, so implantology with a periodontal focus also, and of course biomaterials are really part of my daily practice because I think the procedure that I do the most is the alveolar ridge preservation.
Okay.
This is one of the thing which is most common in the daily practice of the clinic, and then soft tissue augmentation, of course.
Because I really like this perioimplantology. Why is this important? Why do we need to move from implantology to peri-implantology?
I think this is something that has completely shifted over the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we met for the first time, we just had Giovanni Zucchelli, who was spreading the word of soft tissue, the great master. So he was showing us that, and it was very hard for him also to get the implant dentistry people to start thinking also about soft tissue. But since Zucchelli is such a powerful speaker, such an outstanding speaker, and such a great researcher, because we don't have to forget all the work mm-hmm. he's made, he was able to really change the paradigm of the treatment. I like the quote, bone stands hard, but soft tissue is the guard. This is the reality. Why? Because, it's easy to place a dental implant in the bone. If we don't have sufficient bone, now we have the technique to place the bone prior to implant treatment, simultaneously to implant treatment. But what is important for the long-lasting peri-implant health are the soft tissues. Soft tissues matters. And also, this is extremely important because we know that when we refer to soft tissue,
mm-hmm.
peri-implant soft tissue, this is why I like peri-implantology.
Yeah.
It's not like natural teeth. It's not exactly the same because we have different components. Apart from the different anatomical structure, we know the absence of the periodontal ligament, and so the different orientation of the periodontal fibers. So the structure is weaker because when we probe a dental implant, we need to apply a lower pressure compared to a natural tooth. Uh-huh. This is important because sometimes there is an overestimation of the disease because we are mishandling the diagnostic factor, which is the periodontal probe. No? But when we refer to soft tissues around the dental implants, we have three different components at the same time because we have the keratinized mucosa white. Mm-hmm. And we were referring just to keratinized mucosa white for several years. All the studies were just focusing on this. But this is not the only factor. Keratinized mucosa white is the distance from the gingival margin to the mucogingival line. So it's the attached mucosa that we have. But then we have also an horizontal component, mm-hmm. which is soft tissue thickness, which is extremely important as well. And then we have a vertical component, which is the transmucosal height mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. the soft tissue, the transmucosal component, that is very well influenced also by the type of the implant we are using. If we are using a tissue level implant, a bone level implant, well, the distance change, the shift, there is a shift in the implant abutment interface. So this is something we need to consider. Also, there is a shift for the soft tissue. You know, I'm a proud ITI member, ITI director, so I refer to the ITI guidelines, which are now focusing a lot on soft tissue. There are specific ITI guidelines on peri-implant soft tissue augmentation. So this is how the paradigm has shifted from just bone to bone and soft tissue.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the three aspects? Why are they so important? So why is it from a biological, anatomical point of view, etc.?
Well, they are very important. I think that they was very recently described. There is it's not like an article. I would say an editorial, a commentary, one-page mm-hmm. article. Okay, so very easy to read for everybody, also for people who are not used to read scientific literature, which is a commentary by Gustavo Avila Ortiz, who is a very well-renowned periodontist, and is the peri-implant phenotype. He's describing first time, he just put together, no? You know, those entities is the peri-implant phenotype. So we have three different soft tissue components. Mm-hmm. Keratinized mucosa white, soft tissue thickness, and transmucosal height. And then we have the peri-implant bone thickness. So how much bone do we have on the vestibular fascia bone wall? All together, those four elements constitute the peri-implant phenotype. But why is important in a few sentences? Well, soft tissues matters because they are essential for peri-implant health. But why? Because we know from the research that if we don't have a proper band of keratinized tissue surrounding our implants, we will experience more plaque accumulation, more bleeding on probing, more peri-implant bone loss. So, in other words, more mucositis and more peri-implantitis. But why? Well, this is, it comes from, it's described from an article which I always quote from the group of another friend of us, which is Maurizio Araujo, no? Uh-huh. Another giant of periodontology. And he did something very easy, and I always say this in my lectures because it's like real life. Okay, it's not talking about some university setting, something very complicated. It's just, what do you do in your practice? You place properly the implant, and then you insert the patients in some maintenance program. So you recall the patients. So what did they do? They basically recall the patients, and they ask the patient, do you feel any discomfort while you brush your teeth? And you know why? If they have less than 2 millimeters of keratinized mucosa wide, if they don't have a proper amount of soft tissue thickness, patient experience a very great discomfort in brushing the region of the teeth surrounding the implants. And what does it mean this? That they don't brush properly, because we know that if a patient has a pain in doing something, he simply doesn't do it or he does it for 10 seconds. So if he doesn't brush properly, he will have more plaque, more bleeding, and then more disease. So that's why it matters. It's very simple. It's because if you try to put your toothbrush on the oral mucosa, on the free mucosa, which is not attached, it's painful. Okay. And think about doing it on a mandibular molar where you don't have, there is an implant and you don't have a proper band. You just pass it by with the toothbrush and then you go on, or you move on, you don't concentrate, and what happens is that while you floss and you experience some bleeding, so you stop doing. This is why you need a proper peri-implant soft tissue component.
So soft tissue is the guard, as you said.
Soft tissue is the guard. Soft tissue is the key element to provide you a stable pre-implant health. Stable pre-implant health is what make your implant last all for years. You know, I have in the practice of my father-in-law, of Bianca's father, I see cases of implant that were placed 37, 38 years ago. They're still in function. Why? Because there is soft tissue. So if you apply the basic periodontal knowledge to the implant dentistry without doing something which is very complicated, because there are several ways of augmenting soft tissue, and we will talk about it, you will just have happier patients. So your practice will be more successful.
So, very good. So now we know why it's important.
Yeah.
I guess the challenge is, how do we make sure that we have a nice, healthy soft tissue around the implant? So walk us through, like, I have the fact, maybe I need to do socket management. I want to place an implant because the conditions are right. What do I do so that I am sure that the perimplant soft tissue is healthy and guarding the site?
Well, this is a very good question, Arturo, because it's very important for us to concentrate on how do we improve what we have.
Mm-hmm.
There are several techniques. So first, you need to assess the tissue. So you need to start to learn what is keratinized mucosa, what is attached mucosa, and you can just take a probe and visualize this. So you start understanding what is the amount you are dealing with. And then, of course, you know, there are different time points where you can augment soft tissue, because you can do it before implant placement, mm-hmm. during implant placement, at second stage surgery if you're using Bolleven implants, or after the prosthesis is in place. Of course, we know from the literature, from the evidence, but also from our own experience, which is the worst time point after the prosthesis is in place.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's more difficult. It's not straightforward. It's very complex. Think of all the beautiful cases by Giovanni Zucchelli. First thing he does, he changed the crown. Why? Because he knows that it's not possible to have a proper restoration of the soft tissues with the actual crown. Because a bad crown is part of the problem. So it cannot be the solution. When it's also probably not so suggest to do it before implant placement, because also for beginners, when we do it augmentation before the implant placement, if we don't have very good surgical skills, they are not so developed, we are in the learning curve, what happens? That maybe when we open back the flap to place the implant, we can destroy what we have created with the augmentation. So basically we can do it at implant placement or at second stage surgery. If we do it at implant placement, it's a bit more complicated. Why? Because we have to think too many things at the same time. Now, let's keep it simple, guys. So when you do it at second stage surgery, you just do this procedure. Just have to think about soft tissue. There are several ways. You can just do a roll flap, which is a small flap which you rotate and you increase soft tissue naturally. Or either you can use connective tissue graft, place subepithelially, free gingival graft. There are several techniques. Or you can rely on soft tissue substitutes.
Yeah. Perfect. So let's talk about the connective tissue graft, because of course this, or the, let's say, autologous tissue, so that we can put everything in there. Of course, this is the gold standard. Autologous is always, especially when we talk about soft tissue, is the choice.
Nobody can tell you that connective tissue is not the gold standard.
Exactly.
Connective tissue graft is the gold standard. It was, it is, and it will be the gold standard. So there is no doubt that it's the best option.
So then the question is, why companies like Botiss and also other famous companies around the world are providing clinicians with alternatives to the soft tissue graft?
Because they find a solution to a problem. What is the problem? The problem is patient acceptance. Why? Because we know that it's very hard to convince patients to do mucogingival surgery, also from recessions in the anti-aesthetic zone, no? When they are on natural teeth. Imagine when you have to convince a patient to do a connective tissue graft for improving soft tissue on a first mandibular molar on the implant. It's a bit tricky. Mm-hmm. And this is very well described. There is a nice study by Toma in 2022, Periodontology 2000, which is the best journal that we have in dentistry, where they ask, and they did a very nice study, because they asked, they saw soft tissue augmentation from the patient perspective. Now, we are talking a lot about patient-reported outcomes. So what do the patient think of our treatment? Because we are not now just assessing in an objective way our treatment. We need to see the subjective experience of the patient. No?
Of course.
So what do the patients say? Do they prefer connective tissue graft or do they prefer soft tissue substitutes? Well, if you ask the patients, the answer is very easy because they rely more on soft tissue substitutes. Why? Because they experience less pain, because the surgery lasts for a lower amount of time, because there is a lower intake of anti-inflammatory painkiller medication. And this is true, this is evidence-based, and we know also another aspect which is extremely important. If we talk about peri-implant soft tissue augmentation, the results of using connective tissue graft, free gingival graft, or soft tissue substitutes are not that different. And this is a big difference with natural teeth. Of course, for a gingival recession, there is no doubt that still, since there is the natural crimping attachment on the tooth, that connective tissue, yes, is the gold standard, but it's a gold standard with a huge difference. When we talk about soft tissue augmentation or dental implants, this huge difference, it shrinks a bit. It's not so big. Why? Because it's titanium. So the attachment, the crimping attachment is not so good. And if in terms of volume, if you just need to add some volume to the patient for soft tissue thickness, if we have all the other factors, well, then there is no doubt the best choice is an acellular dermal matrix. Why? Because you just need the volume. We know that we need to reach the magic number of 2 millimeters. So if we have an acellular dermal matrix, which has a thickness around 1.4, 1.7 millimeters, so 1.5, we are almost there.
And but you answer a question I haven't done yet, but that's good because I wanted to play a little bit the devil advocate. Mm-hmm. So, because I mean, of course, the patient will tell you, I prefer less pain.
Yeah.
This is clear. But the question is, of course, we want to have a reliable substitute that gives us an aesthetic result, the 2 millimeters you were talking about. So the question to you is, if you go into the market, you see a variety of alternatives to soft tissue grafting. What are you looking into when you're choosing the biomaterial?
Well, first thing I have to look is stability, stability over time, evidence. Because we are unfortunately full of people who are gonna knock on our door of the clinic and say, I have the perfect material for you and it's also cheap. So, wow, thank you so much. So this is something we need to try to understand. How do we deal with this? Because sometimes we are we cannot defend ourselves as a clinician from all the big amount of information that is provided us by industries. No? So we need to understand which one is good, which one is not so good. Okay, so this is important. Also, the economic aspect is another aspect. Now, of course, there are some patients that cannot afford the use of a matrix because the use of a matrix will increase the price. No? Yeah. Because we have a direct price we need to pay. So let's say that I think there is not a clear standard for every single case. We need to go on a case-by-case basis to understand when do we need to use something, when we don't have to use something. Of course, if we have to use something from the industry, we have to rely on industry partners who are trusted, who have solid scientific evidence. We have also cases to show, because another aspect is, let me see the follow-up, no?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we just see a nice picture and it's with the suture inserted. But can I see how it goes then? If we don't see this, this is another aspect. And then I would say the evidence. The evidence is what guides us now, because we have plenty of evidence on a few materials, but we have plenty of materials. So I would say let's stick to something which has a good level of knowledge.
But that's an interesting point, because if we go back to 10 years ago when we, you know, we first met, so you tried Mucoderm. Of course, we provide you with the evidence we had at that time. You start using it, but you yourself, with the university, with La Sapienza and your colleagues, you built on the evidence that we had. So we've been collaborating, this is no secret, on several articles on different biomaterials, but of course, Mukodam is one of them.
So, yes. My favorite one, I would say.
Very good. I mean, also my favorite one. So we, that, maybe that's why
is,
we clicked.
Is the one we started, no? So it's my favorite one.
But maybe you can tell us, maybe not going into details of every single paper you published, but what the body of evidence is from your studies on Mukoderm around implants.
Thanks for the question, because I mean, it's let's try to make it Mukoderm for dummies, no? For, I mean, because we are talking about something which sometimes is seen as very complicated by clinicians who are not used to read the articles, but it, I think that this is a field of research when things are very easy to understand. Well, let's say that the article we started with was this combination of Mukoderm and MaxResorb together, no? And it was very successful because we published the 2 years result. Now we are more than 5 years of follow-up, so another publication will come hopefully soon. And it was interesting because we use a combination of Mukoderm and MaxResorb in the aesthetic zone for type 2 early implant placement, so not immediate after the extraction, but waiting 8 weeks after the extraction, then placing the implant, the MaxResorb on a layer of MaxResorb to augment the bone, and then the Mukoderm matrix with dual use, barrier membrane, so to protect the granules we are placing, and soft tissue augmentation. And results were very interesting because we had a very great augmentation of the soft tissue thickness, a very good augmentation of the keratinized mucosa white, and on top, the design of the study was made to have a partial exposure of Mukoderm. So it was a very advanced study, and we have seen that even if it's not in the IFU, even if not on label, it's a bit off label, but you know, in university maybe we push a bit the accelerator. There can be an exposure, because this is a question I always receive. What happens if there is an exposure? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, it's better if there is not the exposure. But if the exposure is a small amount, a small portion, let's say around 20% of the matrix, then of course we will have a greater shrinkage, which occurs, which goes faster. But then we have a nice results. Why? Because all the surrounding matrix is encapsulated in the bone, the blood vessels flow inside, and so there is still vitality. And it was a very successful, because I won this Trauman Bodies Young Pro Award in 2018 with this study.
That was the one, yes.
So it was, it's my favorite one also, because it was a very, very big surprise to me to receive the, I still remember the time I was in my clinic working, and I received this email, marking red, strictly confidential. You have won. I start jumping all over the clinic. It was a very emotional moment. It was incredible. So because the competition was very high.
You deserved it.
Thank you so much. The competition was very high.
Exactly.
And it was wonderful to be selected by a jury, which I still don't know after years who was part of the jury.
I was part of the jury.
Thank you so much. I hope you voted for me then.
No, I was actually, no, that's a joke. Drajan was in the jury and other people as well.
Okay. Yeah,
there was it was difficult to choose because there were very, very good candidates. But then you were talking about, so we talk about the keratinized mucosa white, but in another study you focus more on the volumetric stability.
Exactly.
And this can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is true. I mean, this was very interesting because I started to publish one paper back in 2018 on, it was a pilot study, so the use of Mukoderm for soft tissue augmentation in the upper premolar zone. And we didn't have at the time a proper way to assess soft tissue, so we just rely on analogic conventional ways to assess soft tissue. So the endodontic file that we blocked to measure with a digital caliber the soft tissue thickness, and then the probe to measure the keratinized mucosa white. But then what changed? The widespread diffusion of intraoral scanner gave us the possibility to have a way to objectively assess in a volumetric way how much volume are we gaining? Because this is what is very interesting for us now. So, and I mean, intraoral scanner cannot lie. So it is more reproducible than an endodontic file which you insert. So we had this study, which we published on Journal of Periodontology in 2021. And it was very interesting because from a volumetric point of view, we have a great increase of volume. And also we were able to demonstrate which is the period of the shrinkage of the matrix, which goes in the first 6 months. After 6 months, Mucoderm is stable. So no more changes. And this, I think, is what differentiates the Mucoderm from the other matrix. The greater stability. Why? Because after 6 months, Mucoderm is gone. Is integrated into connective tissue. Maybe we have some portion of the matrix who are still there, but they are embedded in soft tissue. And this is important because, I mean, we demonstrated through the reading, through the article, that placing the Mucoderm matrix on the vestibular aspect with a very easy and straightforward procedure. I always say the most difficult thing you have to do is remember to hydrate the Mucoderm in time. Otherwise, you will be staying like this, waiting for the hydration of the Mucoderm. Because we need to hydrate Mucoderm. And this was demonstrated by Kasai back in 2016 or 15, I don't remember the year. But it was a very nice article, and he evaluated all several matrix, mm-hmm. not just Mucoderm. If you hydrate the Mucoderm matrix for around 5 to 7 minutes at least, this is the threshold, then what you get is an activation of the matrix, which is ready to be implanted into the surrounding tissue. How do we hydrate the Mucoderm? We have basically two ways, saline or blood. But if you have to pick one, let's pick the blood, because it's the best way to activate the matrix, to have the fibroblast transformation into new soft tissue. This is easy, it's very straightforward. So you just have to open the box, take a few drops of blood without any hard collection, just from the site of the incision, and then wait a bit. Wait 5-7 minutes, and you perform a very small in the upper maxilla U-shaped flap, so you gain keratinized tissue from the palate. You place the Mucoderm matrix on the vestibular aspect, change the healing abutment, one or two stitches, and the situation and the procedure is done. So it's easy, very straightforward. It's not advanced, it's not complex, it's not there are no excuses to don't perform soft tissue augmentation like this. It's really something which is very intuitive, mm-hmm. very easy to do. You just have to remember and to know the material you're using. So hydrate the Mucoderm. That's it.
Perfect, because we have, just by coincidence...
What are the odds?
What are the odds? So, you've been using Mucoderm for now many years, but
yes.
Try to connect to Piero from the 2015.
Yeah.
We also have it dry. So imagine you are Piero from the 2015. What do you think clinically?
Well, when I first saw the Mucoderm, I saw it like this, dry, no? And I said, oh, but it's very stiff. No? Yeah. The stiffness is very high. What do I do with this? And also the angles were very sharp. So how can I cut the angles? So then I made some tries with some non-sterile samples. And then I said, okay, let me see. They said I have to hydrate it. Maybe it's better if I hydrate it properly. Because in the beginning, I was not hydrating the material very well. So what happens? When I was placing the material, it was very hard for me because the Mucoderm was pushing the flap. So even if everything was not perfectly passive, there could be a reopening.
Yeah.
So this is why sometimes you use the Mucoderm not in the good way and you say, no, it's not working. I had some problems. Why? Because you didn't apply the proper protocol. There is a big difference when you hydrate the Mucoderm, because you see how flexible this is. You see how you can use it, and it's very easy to cut, it's very easy to adapt, very easy to stretch also. So that's really a big difference. And what is very interesting is that the thickness of the matrix is fixed, is the same, and you don't have to cut it, you don't have to reduce it, because there is a fixed number, which is 1.5 millimeter. Which is something that you can use. It's what you need, no more.
Perfect. So you mentioned, okay, it's flexible, nice. We hydrated for 5-7 minutes, so all good. It has this nice consistency or structure. Can you easily suture it, push it, pull it? Is it a resistant material?
Yes, it's a very resistant material. It doesn't stretch while you pass the needle, so it's very easy to suture. But to be honest, majority of cases, I don't suture it. I just place it in the vestibular aspect, mm-hmm. and it's maintained by the flap itself. So this is why it's very useful. Of course, if you're doing a recession, no, you want to use it like a CTG, you suture it, and you will see that it's very easy to suture to the periosteum. So there are not many difficulties that you will encounter, and it's very stable. I think stability is the key of this material.
In which sense?
Well, in the sense that
volumetric stability, the thickness.
Volumetric stability and also the thickness, because when I did the volumetric study, we also measured from a linear perspective at different heights. So 1, 2, 3, 4 millimeters below the gingival margin, what is the thickness? Because maybe you have all the thickness on top, and then you lose the thickness going lower. But this is something which didn't happen. It's very stable, it's very uniform, so if you apply it correctly, you will have a very nice gingival contour surrounding all the implant.
And in your opinion, how much is depending, so the result, the final result, on the technique? So, in other words, I'm a never used Mucoderm. What shall I do, or what shall I pay attention to so that my aesthetic or end result is positive?
I think the most important thing you need to take a look to see is the hydration. So, okay, proper hydration, but that's very easy. And then cutting the mucoderma without leaving sharp angles, which won't be sharp if it's hydrated properly. And then you need to have a passive flap. This is the most important thing, because if you try just to insert it and you didn't have detached properly the periosteum, then the mucoderm will push and maybe it will be reopened. So when you suture, you need to be very careful. But this is applies also for CTG. So there's nothing different.
Ah, that's good. And so we're approaching our final minutes. We have been having a very nice conversation. So after so many years of using mucoderm and all the studies you've done, why mucoderm?
Why Mucoderm? Well, first, because it's a very well material with a great amount of scientific support. Second, because it's the material I started with, so I'm, let's say, from a emotional perspective, I like to work with this material. It's 11 years that I'm working with this material. It's 11 years that I have the trust and the friendship of the Botis family. And this is another important aspect. And third, because if we compare the Mucoderm with other materials, membranes, matrix that we have in the market, there are several brands, so it's useless to make names. We know that, and we have tried those matrix several times in the university, because, you know, industries and companies can come. Let's say that from a clinical perspective, I think we can rely on Mucoderm for the long term. And I have now been following the cases I've done for 8 years. We are approaching the 9th year. I mean, the results are very nice. It's still there. I still see the same patient and everything is very stable. And if you take a look at the measures, they are there. So, which means that it's something that we can trust, it's something which is worthy, and it's something which is stable. Stability is really important for peri-implant health. So this is why I trust Mucoderm.
Perfetto. Thank you Piero.
Thank you.
È stato un piacere.
Grazie Arturo, anche per me.
Ci vediamo in giro.
Ci vediamo in giro.
Grazie.
Ci vediamo alla prossima birra.
Thank you.
Grazie.